I have post-it notes all over my house. It is important to remember, such as last Monday just wasn't a day off. Last Monday was Memorial Day, and it is important to remember. It's important to remember because men and women paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be here today and do what we do in this country. So we can be here today and we have freedoms like no other country. And it's more than that. It's more than that because men and women paid the ultimate sacrifice to go halfway around the world to rescue, to set free people who were oppressed and in war. So it's important to remember days like that. So I thought we'd pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, that we can go to heaven someday, that we are filled today with your life and your nature and a good life. But Father, we also remember those that paid the price for the benefits we have today. And we pray for their families. We bless them. Father, we honor them. And Father, we also pray for peace. It has been a doozy of a year and a half. And Father, we pray for peace in our nation. We pray for unity. We pray for love. And Father, we pray, and I pray specifically, that we would remember that we are carriers of a message of peace, of love, of hope. And I thank you, Father, that this morning we remember that because we're going to leave this place, because I'm going to turn off the AC and turn off the light, and you're going to go home to your neighborhoods, and you're going to go home to the neighborhoods in our city. And Father, that we would remember to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring Jesus. And we remember that you love us, Lord Jesus. Remember, Lord Jesus, that you help us in our cities and our homes and our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I have a big idea, one big idea that you're just going to hear through and through. So if you're taking notes, here it goes. Ready? Remembering is important. It matters. Remembering is important. It matters. And if you forget to remember some things, it can be dangerous. It can be costly because remembering is important. It matters. And so this past week, I have company coming, so I'm cleaning up things, and I ended up distracted, and I'm going through photo albums. Some of you youngins don't even know what a photo album is. You do this all online, but I've got about a dozen of them. So I'm flipping through my photo albums, and these memories are just going right through me. Anybody, you go through pictures and these memories, right? So these memories, a bunch of them made me just laugh. Just laughing. There was one particular picture. It's when our kids, all of us, went to the rail trail on a bike ride. And the rail trail was down the hill from where we lived before, and we got helmets on. I think the youngest one still had training wheels, and we're all on this bike ride. And I'm looking at this picture, and I've got tons of memories. I'm just laughing. I remembered, like, halfway through, I think we had stopped for snacks and, of course, juice boxes. And I just, you know, just good memories, okay? And then as I'm looking at this picture that is flooding me with those good memories, I had to stop and say, God, thank you for your good in my life. God, you've been so good in my life. I just love it, right? But sometimes memories are painful. And what you don't know about that picture, and if you look really close, not everybody had happy faces, because halfway through that bike ride, somebody's chain fell off the bike, and they're on the verge of tears, and we had to turn around, and I think Jack is dragging the bike, and the kid is not too happy, and then somebody else is crying because the bugs are getting them, and there's some painful memories that go, all right, there's some painful things, all righty? So remembering sometimes has some pain to it. It does, all righty? But those painful memories about our failures, we still need to remember, okay? And I'm going to take you with a place. Some of you are like, I don't know about this. No, just hang in, all right? So sometimes painful memories are about failures, but sometimes painful memories are about losses, right? So this past Memorial Day, I know there's people, and I was looking on Facebook, and people posted pictures, and they are remembering a loss because somebody is not there with them today. And maybe your painful memory is a loss of a parent, a loss of a child. Hey, maybe even a loss of a dream, all right? Because sometimes we lose dreams because other people, right? So sometimes our memories are painful. But I'm telling you guys, it's important to remember them. It's important to remember them because they matter. I'm going to read you something that I pulled off the internet. There's this psychologist called Jordan Peterson, and he said this: when we forget our past, we forget our identity. And ultimately, who we are is the sum total of all of our past memories. So listen to this. It is important to even remember those difficult times. And I like to say it's part of our resurrection, okay? Because Jesus did not come to this earth so you would forget all the broken things that have happened in your life. He didn't come so to erase all those hard times. He came to redeem them, right? He came to restore you and to bring you through. So it's important to remember some of those hard times. Probably about 6 months ago, there's this guy named Stephen Thomas. Anybody know who he is? I know something you don't know. Okay. And I didn't know who it was for a couple months. About 6 months ago, I was in a conversation with my son, Jesse. And Stephen Thomas had been gifted a ton of Bitcoins, Bitcoins. Anybody know what a Bitcoin is? For all of you, because I didn't know 6 months ago, I'll read the definition. A Bitcoin is a decentralized digital currency that you can buy and sell basically without a bank. So this guy, Stephen Thomas, who lives in San Francisco, who was gifted a whole bunch of these things, now in 2011, now Bitcoins have just skyrocketed. So what he was gifted to is now worth like $200 million, all right? That's pretty cool. I didn't get that for Christmas, all right? And now, but here's the thing. He can't get to it. You know why? He forgot his password. And it's called the password to the iron key, whatever. But anyway, he can't remember his password. I'm going to say that again. He can't remember his password. And the way this iron key is set up, you have 10 chances to get in there. And he has used up, from the article that I read a while ago, he's used up 8. 8 minus 10 is, he's got 2 left. And if he doesn't nail it, guess what? Poof, he loses it. Write your passwords down, okay? So forgetting has serious consequences sometimes. And that's what he's going through. Now, mine is not that extravagant, and I remember one time I was cleaning, and I shoved a red rag into my khaki white jeans, khaki light-colored jeans, threw them in the laundry. Later on that week, I did the light-colored wash, and guess what color they all came out? Pink, okay? So there's consequences to forgetting, but and sometimes they're dangerous. That's not dangerous, but anyway. So that's why it's important to be intentional about remembering. That's why it's important that we look at our past pictures, you know, go through the photo album, because sometimes you need to remember. That's why we have special holidays. That's why you mark on the calendar the anniversary or the birthday, because there's consequences, right? And that's why, let's see if I can do this. Did it. We stack rocks. Okay, I'm going to leave it over here. Okay. Okay. Pastor D, what did you do? Besides dropping rocks, okay? We stack rocks, okay? Does anybody know what this is called? My worship team, I already told them what it is. It's called a Karen. C-A-I-R-N. All right? A Karen. And if you've been through some deserts or mountains or wildernesses, you might have seen them. Anybody have ever seen Karens stacked? Stacked rocks. Well, the rocks that have been stacked, but obviously it wasn't by nature, okay? Even though your kids will tell you a story. They've been purposely stacked by people, okay? And Karens, can we put that picture up? Oh, they got it. All right. There's parks out west where they have these huge things, all right? So today, I want to talk about Karens having two purposes. If you're taking notes, here's the first one. A Karen identifies a place that is significant, okay? A Karen identifies a place that is significant. So if you see one and you're walking by, it's something that's significant, okay? It's something that you should see. It's something special about that place that you should maybe slow down, that you should maybe take notice, that you should maybe remember the stacked rocks. You should remember. Now, the idea of erecting stone is not something y'all don't know about. Matter of fact, you are very familiar with it. We have been doing it for thousands of years. Can you put that picture up? Right? And I was thinking more of Arlington National Cemetery, where there is stone after stone after stone after stone. And what it's saying is, hey, there is something really significant, important here that you need to remember, right? Right? So erecting a stone is something we need to remember. Now, that's the first thing about a Karen. Here's the second thing if you're writing notes. A Karen sets direction. Okay, so if you're not sure where to go and you come across this stack of stones here, a Karen, oftentimes they'll say, hey, look, there's a Karen. Ooh, that's the way we should go. Okay, so they set direction, all righty? And they set direction, that's the way we should go, that we need to maybe get back on track. But here's the really cool thing about Karens, ready? It was not some hippie granola bar backpacker that figured this thing out, that thought of it. Sorry, it's not, okay? It's actually a God idea. It wasn't humans that came up with this idea. It was a God idea. Turn over to Joshua and let me show you. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua is about to lead the Hebrew children across the Jordan River. Okay, so for 40 years, they've been in the wilderness, going around and around, all right? They've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and they've been waiting and waiting and hoping for the promise of God, which was to go into the promised land, all righty? Now, the backside story is Moses has died, Joshua is now the leader, and he's leading these millions of Hebrew Israelites, Jews. He's leading them across the Jordan River. He's leading them across the Jordan River. And much like what God did during the Red Sea, God does this with the Jordan River. Miraculously, God just causes that water to dry up. Okay, so it's dried up, and now Joshua's leading these guys across the Jordan River, across this dry land. And he's got them on the other side, and God says something. And God says, hey, Joshua, I want you to pick one guy out of each of the 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. I want you to pick one guy, and I want them to go pick up a stone, not a pebble, not a rock, but a big thing. Out of the middle of where the River Jordan has dried up, I want you to have one guy from each tribe, the 12 tribes, pick them up and take them over to the side that you are crossing to where you are going to camp. Now everybody say, why? You can say that with God because God says why. And this is what he says. He said, I want my people always to remember. That's what they're Karens. That's what it was for. I want my people to always remember that I brought them out of Egypt. I brought them through the wilderness, and I have brought them into the promised land. So what is that stack of rocks for everybody? To remember, right? Now, listen to Joshua chapter 4, verse 6. It says this, we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you why. Your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Verse 7, then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River was stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So why did God say stack 12 stones? Why? Well, listen, it's the same reason why we gather here every weekend. It's the same reason why we celebrate Easter every year. It's the same reason why we celebrate Christmas. Yeah. It's the same reason why you read your Bible on something you've read before or heard before. It's the same reason, okay? So why did he do it? So they'd remember who God is. That's what it meant. So they'd remember who God is. So today, I have three things I want you to remember. And if you're taking notes, you ought to take notes. These are good notes to take. Ready? Three things I want you to remember. Number one, remember who God is. Number two, remember what God has done. And number three, remember why Jesus suffered. And we're going to go through all of them. So if you missed it, hang on. All right? So number one, we need to remember who God is, all right? We need to remember who God is. And when you remember who God is, when you know who God is, you will know who you are. I'm going to say that one again. When you remember who God is, when you know who God is, you will know who you are. And there's a lot of you sitting here today. I know you know who God is. I know that. And when you know who God is, but you know that you are not who you used to be because you know who God is, right? You remember who you once were. You remember what you once did. But because you know who God is and he's changed you, you know who you are. Amen? All right. Some of you, you may not know how to remember who God is because you've never experienced him. You've never known him. And today I'd like this message about this stacking of stones to do two things. One, to help y'all remember who God is, what he's done in your life, right? Because when you know who he is and what he's done in your life, you will be rejoicing for your past. And you will be excited and identify with your present day, and then you will have hope for your future. And that's why you need to remember. And some of you might be here because you need the Karen, this message that points you to the path where you will have an encounter with a living God that will change you from the inside out. Amen? So the best way I can do this is open up your Bibles to 2 Kings. I want to tell you another story. Ready? 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to tell you another story. It's about a guy named Naaman. How many of you have ever heard of Naaman? Naaman is the captain of an enemy army of Israel. He's the captain of the army of Aram. He's the captain of this army of Aram, and Aram happens to be the enemy of God's people. All right? So he's the captain of this enemy army, and they've been at war with Israel, all right? So the king of Aram, listen, has favored Naaman because, listen to this, the Lord had given the Aram army victories over Israel. And you're like, what? Wait a minute, God's people? No, listen. The enemy army, the Lord had given the enemy army victories over Israel, all right? And I'll tell you why. And you know what's kind of crazy? Is, have you ever had some times where you just, ding, you knew that God was doing things that you didn't know? Like, there's plans within the plans. I have that happen all the time. You know, sometimes God is doing things in your life before you even know it. And sometimes God is doing things in your life before you even ask. I love my God, I'm telling you what. And that's what God is going to do with the enemy, Naaman, all right? So, and you know, how many of you know the goodness of God falls out on everybody? Whether you're good or bad, there's goodness and mercy from God. He just pours out on everybody. And sometimes those everybody's are enemies and they don't even ask. But that's our God. Isn't he amazing? All right. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, there's this one little part where it says, Naaman, the mighty warrior commander, had leprosy. And leprosy is a disease, okay? But it says, Naaman, the mighty warrior, had leprosy. So here's this guy with all his successes. And the Bible says that he was second in command of that nation. He's top dog beside the king, all right? But he's got leprosy. And leprosy is just gross, okay? My kids would go, it's icky gross. It's a disease that eats the flesh off of your skin, just your body, all right? But this disease not only is physical, but it comes with social and psychological junk with it. Like, you would get it. There's social distancing with this disease, y'all, right? Only thing, it's more than 6 feet, because if you had that disease, people distance themselves from you. You were pushed out from people because of this disease. So, and then also, and in case you didn't figure out, it messes with your brain, people's brains. We've just walked through just a little tiny bit about that, okay? So this disease would cost Naaman his reputation, his career, his status, all right? So this guy is desperate, amen? He is desperate to find a solution to his problem. He is so desperate. He wants to hold on to who he is and his position and all that stuff, and he is desperate. So it just so happens, you know, there's no just so happens with the Lord, but it just so happens that there is a servant girl in Naaman's household. Just so happens, and she's an Israelite. So that means that the enemy army, Aram, had gone in to Israel and captured people and brought them back as servants, as slaves, okay? So it just so happens that there's this young girl that is the maid to Naaman's wife. It just so happens. Okay, so this little girl goes to the Naaman's wife and says, you know, if my master would just go to Israel to see the prophet Elijah, I know the prophet Elijah would heal him. So what do you think that good wife says? She goes running to her husband and says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So Naaman runs over to the king, and he is desperate, and he says, King, I hear that there's some sorcery guy, some holy guy in Israel, and that if I go there, there's a good chance I can get rid of this problem, right? So the king, remember we said the king favored Naaman because he'd won all these battles, but there was a relationship going on. There was favor going on with him. So the king says, go ahead. You can use all your vacation days. No. He says, go ahead. Go ahead, I want you to go there. And as a matter of fact, I want you to go there, and I am going to give you wagons full of gold, full of silver, full of all treasures, okay? And I'm going to give you a certified letter with my seal that says it's from me. And you take that when you go to Israel, and wherever you present that, they'll say, oh, okay. And it says you have to help me, okay? You help him. So Here's Naaman, and he's got his wagon entourage, and he's got his special letter. And guess where the first place he goes to? He goes to the king of Israel. You know, we're not going to mess with the little boys. We are going to the top because you got this letter. So he goes to the top. He goes to the king of Israel, Naaman, the enemy, the commander of the enemy. He goes to the king, and the king is freaking out. You know, he's freaking out because he's like, oh, I can't help you. I can't heal you. Are you guys going to start another war with us? All right. So the king is just kind of freaking out and spazzing out. And somehow Elijah, the prophet, right, hears about this. And he goes to the king. He says, listen, just chill. I'll take care of this. Send Naaman to me. So, but then Elijah does something a little weird. Listen to this. Elijah sends one of his lower guys, his little apprentice guy, and he sends him to Naaman before Naaman goes to Elijah. Okay? So this little apprentice guy goes and meets him off at the pass, and he goes, Naaman, Here's the deal. The prophet's going to heal you, but you don't have to go see him. You don't have to go see him. He's going to heal you. I love when little kids say that in a sentence. You just got to dip in the River Jordan 7 times, and then you'll be healed. Now, how many of you think Naaman would be, yippee, woohoo, right? Yeah, I'm going to get healed. This is going to happen. The prophet Elijah is going to heal me. That is not what happened. He gets, nice word, Pastor D, furious, okay? He gets furious about this thing. And he says, what? He is not going to come out and see me? What? Doesn't he know who I am? What? Doesn't he know I have this entourage full of gold and silver in these wagons? Doesn't he know I have this letter with a stamp and the seal of the king? Huh? Doesn't he know? Isn't he going to wave his magic arms and my skin will be all better? Naaman is ticked and he says, that's it. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Let's go back home. Anybody's kids act like that? Yeah. Yeah, they do. So, the problem is Naaman has created this idea in his brain, in his mind, on how he's going to get healed. Naaman has this picture on how God should do it and the way it should go down, right? And because of what he's told and it didn't happen the way he wanted it, he is ready just to pack his bags and just go home and miss the very thing, the very reason why he's in Israel, right? Now, I think people do that sometimes too, right? We have in our mind the way we think God should do something. When God should do it, right? People do that, not us. Everybody says somebody over there, right? Okay. So when things don't match up with what we think, a lot of times we walk away from what we should be doing or what we want and maybe the plan God has for you. Just saying, okay? So back to Naaman. Naaman's just ticked, irate, mad, and he goes, we have better rivers back home in Damascus. I could go dip in them, all right? So he's just really, just flesh, right? Do you hear that, right? So, Bible trivia. Do you know that the Jordan River runs between Israel and Aram? So, they're going to have to go past it, through it, or around the Jordan River if they want to go back, right? So I'm like, come on, Naaman, okay? And then I got to thinking about our stacked stones, and I'm thinking, hey, did Naaman see those stones? Did it mean anything to him? Answer, no, because he doesn't know what they stand for, right? He doesn't know that God did miraculous things for the people of Israel. And he probably doesn't even care. They're a bunch of stones, right? If he saw them, okay? So, do you know what happens? Naaman is ready to pack his bags and just go back home. Ah, la, la. And Naaman has some good friends. Okay? Naaman has some good friends who still remember why they're in Israel. They has, and you know what, y'all should have some good friends that will remind you what really matters. Because sometimes we get silly, okay? So his friends say, Naaman. If Elijah told you something hard, outrageous to do, like climb this big mountain with your bare feet and go to the top and find a pink rose and bring it back down, would you do it? Naaman, if the prophet Elijah asked you to drink some green, greasy, gross potion, would you do it? Okay? Right? But all he's asked you to do is take some simple steps and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And his friends go, why don't you do it? All right? So, better yet, what do you have to lose? Righty? Now, you don't really see when you read what's going on in Naaman's heart. But he's a person, and I could tell you, that guy's got some offense building, right? Probably a lot of offense. But then he turns around, and he says, okay, because he listened to his friends, amen? So he goes to the River Jordan, and he dips himself 7 times. You know the rest of the story. On the 7th time when he comes up, the Bible says that his skin was like a young child, okay? And I don't know, he was old and wrinkly and had sunspots, but when he came up, man, beautiful skin, okay? Beautiful skin. He's healed, he's whole. Praise the Lord. And that's exciting. But it's exciting because there's actually more than something that happened external to Naaman. There's something that happened on the inside that changed him. Turn over to 2 Kings, where you are, chapter 5, verse 17. Okay. You read a little bit before this, and I know that there was a change in Naaman. And you read this and you're going, yeah, Pastor D, I know there's a change. Because when he saw the supernatural miracle that God had done, right, he goes running back to Elijah, chases him down, wiggles his way in. And listen to what he says. I know, this is Naaman saying to the prophet, I know there's no other God in all the world except the God that resides in Israel, okay? And then, let's take this thing to the top. Naaman says, here, take all these treasures. Take the gold. Take the silver. Take all of this stuff. And you know what Elisha says? I didn't do anything. God did. I'm not taking your treasure. God didn't do anything. I'm not taking your treasure. Okay, 2 Kings 5:17. Then Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load up 2 of my mules with earth. Dirt. Okay, guys? Load up 2 of my mules with dirt from this place, and I will take it back home with me, because from now on I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord God. So why did Naaman want to take dirt back with him? Well, the same reason why people wear crosses around their neck, the same reason why we have people come up sometimes and tell their real Jesus stories, okay? Because, guys, it is not enough to know who God is. It's not enough. You've got to remember what God has done. Guys, knowing who God is everything, but knowing what he's done changes you from the inside out. And you know, people know about God, but man, when you know what he's done for you through his son, it changes you from the inside out. Amen? So, what has God done? Well, here you got Naaman, who leaves his home to go to Israel. He doesn't know God. He's not pursuing God. He's actually got a problem. He's trying to fix his problem, and no matter how he tries, he can't fix his problem. But listen, he knows he needs help. Okay, he needs a savior, and he needs a rescuer. He does, okay? And thank God, with the help of some friends, he took this little step of faith, And just a simple act of obedience, and he believed the words out of the prophet Elijah was from God, all right? And he was healed. And this is our amazing God that will offer everybody, whether you're the enemy of God's people, he offers, grace, mercy, healing, all right? And let me tell you, this guy didn't deserve it. He's the captain of the army. He's probably slaughtered hundreds of Israelites, okay? He didn't deserve it. He's arrogant. He's self-reliant. He's full of pride. He's offended. And yet, listen, God loved Naaman even before. He loves. That's who God is. Amen? Praise God. So, this is who God is. This is what God does. And I'm telling you, it's worth remembering. Remember who God is. Remember what God has done in your life. It is worth it. So, I'm going to tell you a story. Some of you were here on that day. It's probably about 5 years ago. Nevin beats me here now. I used to get here, and I was the first one. Now Nevin's here. So I leave my house at 8:30, and I get to the church, and I hang out down in my office trying to hide from everybody so I can keep my head in the game, you know. Some of you don't know what that means, okay? And I usually leave my office about 5 minutes to 10, and I start walking down the hall. Well, that Sunday, your lovely wife, I meet her as I come out of the office doors, and we're talking because I just enjoy Stacy, and she's got the little kids. So how old have they been about 5 years ago? They were preschool. Okay, there's a cute little story about that, but anyway. So I'm like, hurry up, Stacy, just talk to me. So this is Stacy, and I start walking backwards. Come on, hurry, I gotta hurry, hurry. And I do not see the little stool that is no longer there that is in front of the water fountain, and I trip over that thing. Bam, full weight, because, you know, I didn't want to drop my Bibles, okay? Bam, so full weight, and I end up by dislocating a bone, breaking a bone, and shattering a whole bunch. Michael, you were there that Sunday. I think so. And I was like, that's okay. Tie an ice pack on me. I'm coming upstairs. I'm going to preach. Yeah. And all these people are coming to tell what happened. It's just, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. I can do it. You notice I didn't say Jesus. I can do it. And then I peeked under that rag. I'm like, ah! So I ended up by going to the hospital. I ended up by having surgery because when you shatter a bunch of bones, they put a plate in there. Okay, so. Now, we do stupid stuff in life, right? And then it's okay to forget some of those. But listen, you can't see it. I have a scar right here, okay? And I don't forget this because this scar talks about that day when that happened, and I have a scar. All righty? Now, how many of you have scars that tell stories, right? Don't lift your shirt and show them, okay? One of my friends, they have a scar up here. It's because their brother hit him with a tennis racket and gashed open, okay? So we have scars. We have scars. And the cool thing about scars, listen to this, is they tell a story about that day when that happened, right? Can you all remember your scar stories? Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Now, I'm going to say something. It sounds a little outlandish. Put your seatbelts on. Practice smiling. Okay? Praise God for scars. Okay. Oh, then you got it if you say amen. Okay? Because where you have a scar is where you have a memory of a wound that is healed. Woo! Where you have a scar is a memory where a wound is healed. All right? It's worth remembering. Now, when it's still a wound, like when it was fresh, when I just got out of surgery and I have stitches, if you were to touch it, ouch. If you were to bump it, ouch. If you were to rip the Band-Aid off, ouch, I'm going to cry, okay? Because it's still a wound, all righty? Now, not anymore, okay? It's a scar. It doesn't hurt anymore. It's still there. Still there. Come up and check it later. It's like that long, all righty? And it doesn't hurt anymore because the wound has turned into a scar. It's healed. Amen. Praise God. So I remember a story. I remember a story, and it's no longer has the power to hurt me. This wound no longer has the power to hurt me, and because it's healed, right? Okay, now, God is so great. God is great. God is good. Thank him for our food. But God is so great that he made our bodies to heal. He made them. They're made to heal by themselves, okay? Praise God. And bodies will heal by themselves. And praise God besides surgery and stuff like that. But listen to this. There is a part that when we can hold, we can be inflicted with, good words, Pastor D, deep wounds on the inside, right? Deep wounds. And those wounds are just like the physical ones. They're real. And sometimes they hurt more. Amen? That's not a good time to say amen, but yes, Pastor D, okay? So some of those wounds have been self-inflicted. You chose something. You made a mistake. You sinned. Sometimes we self-inflict these wounds, okay? But I'm going to get to the good start part of this, okay? And a lot of times, these are inflicted by others. People that you love, people you trusted, people that you needed, okay? And those scars go deep, all right? Now, have you ever noticed somebody who's kind of close to their wound? Like you say something, right, that reminds them of that wound. You bring up the topic that reminds them of that wound. And if it's still a wound, they kind of wince, tears well up. Why? Because that wound still hurts, right? It hasn't healed, okay? And you know why that happens? Because we have an enemy, and one of his greatest strategies, the most common, cruelest strategy that your enemy likes to use is he wants to make sure your wound doesn't heal into a scar. He wants to make sure, all right? But here's the good news. Jesus, right? Jesus, the greatest gift that Jesus out of his love is that he laid down his life so your wounds were healed. He laid down his life so your wounds were healed, okay? And I don't want you to miss a chance to allow the wounds in your life to be healed by Jesus. And it's your choice. Amen. So, now, last couple weeks we talked about Jesus coming back, the second coming back of Jesus, and I am excited about this. We get new bodies, lean, mean, fighting machines. Amen? Anybody else excited about those bodies? Praise God. But, listen to this. Did you know that the perfect resurrected body of Jesus bears scars? Yep. And those scars tell a story of that day when that happened, okay? And those scars tell us to remember that with his wounds we are healed. Take it. You got to take it. With those wounds, I'm healed, okay? Now, two more scriptures. Isaiah, my people are getting ready now. Wink, wink, okay? Code word, okay. Listen to Isaiah 53. Before I read that. So, it is important. It matters that you remember, what is it? Number one, who God is. Number two, what God's done. And here's the third one, why Jesus suffered. Why he sacrificed his life, why he suffered. So, Isaiah 53:4. Surely he took our pains and bore our suffering. He was considered, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Guys, what's the last part? And why? By his wounds we are healed. All right? So, why was this recorded? Because 2,000 years ago, the church took time, you all can come up front, to take communion. That's why it's recorded, okay? And it's recorded so we would pause, go ahead, you can give them out, and remember who God is, what he has done, and why Jesus suffered. Thank you. All right. So today, we're going to remember, okay? Main idea, remember, it's important and it matters. Who God is, what he has done, and why Jesus suffered. So we're going to remember, okay? And we're going to remember that he suffered so that we could be healed. Not only physically, but the wounds that life just puts our way. So I'm going to read one more scripture. Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And this is Jesus talking. He's with his disciples that he had run around for 3.5 years. The guys that he taught, he mentored, he demonstrated, he did everything, he loved them. And this is going to be one of his last conversations before he goes to the cross. And here it goes. He took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So I want you to take your cracker, and would you remember that it's important? It's important to remember. Remember, it matters that his body was broken for you. Remember. So do you take this? I can never put a whole one in my mouth because then I can't swallow. Okay. Verse 20. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. The blood that was poured out by Jesus' wounds to wash away your sins, your failures, your loss, every hard experience. Would you remember what the blood did? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for who you are, that you were faithful to send your Son. Thank you for what Jesus did for us, and thank you, we remember why he suffered for us. And we take it and we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, for some of you, today was just, you needed to remember. You needed to remember who God was, what he's done, and why he suffered. But maybe you're here and this is about getting to know the one who died for you, okay? And maybe today for you is all about getting in the right direction, because maybe you feel lost, maybe you feel wounded, maybe you're like Naaman, you need some help. You need some help, and I'd like to help you if you're here today, and I'd like to help you if you're desperate or just, you're done, okay? And just like Naaman, God has provided healing for Naaman. There was salvation. There was a rescue. And just like Naaman, God has provided a rescue for you. And if you would take a little step of faith and trust in that God did send his Son, that he loves you, he has always loved you, and he stands and he says, I've done everything for you. Would you take that step of faith and come in? Come in and be a part of my family. And it's real easy. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he would save. What a relief. I don't have to do anymore. I am so tired of trying to fix my life that's not being fixed. So if you're here today and you have never asked and received this love of God through his Son Jesus, today is a good day. And I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you, would you receive this free gift called Jesus so he could rescue you and bring you to a place where you're forgiven, heaven's your home, God's your Father, he makes your life new, he makes you blameless and holy and pure. So if you're here today and you have never done that and this is just beating on your heart, would you raise your hand and we're going to pray. And nobody has to look, just we're going to pray for you, all right? And I would like you to say this prayer after me. Just pray it out of your heart, okay? You don't have to do anything hard, okay? Just pray it out of your heart. And we're going to pray it with you. And after you pray this prayer, there will be a miracle that happens on the inside. Like Naaman, there was something that happened on the inside. He was changed. And after you pray this prayer, God will change you from the inside out. He will make you his child. He will wash away and just deposit great things in your life. So would you all pray this prayer with us today? Say, Father God, thank you for being faithful to send your Son Jesus to die for me, to wash my sins away, to make me your child. Thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, today I receive you. Today I take you into my life. I take you into my heart. And I say, I'm forgiven. I'm now a child of God. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, it's good to remember. Amen. Amen. And I know so many of you know that. And you, but there's people that God has in your world that do not know that. And you are part of the rescue team. So go tell everybody about it, all right? So I'm just going to, I think I've talked long. No, I didn't. I was just talked perfect, all right? But Pastor Sherry and I, we love you. There's so much love for you. And if you'd like some prayer, come on up front. I've got some elders here, but you're dismissed. Do not leave your kids here. Take them home, all right? We lock the cabinets. We don't give out any more.